And we're back, Saints and Pioneers. My buddy Jesse here. We're doing it live.
I can't do it. I can't do it.
Shout out to you, Bill O'Reilly, wherever you're at. Probably angrily speaking to someone at this moment. If you don't know what we're talking about, just go to YouTube. We don't talk like words like that because we got the faith of God in this place. Anyway, go listen. It is YouTube gold for sure. We say this all the time, but it's been a little bit. But man, I'm excited to be back. We've had a little vacation, little getaways, all that good stuff.
And very good.
Now we are back. Jesse is so dedicated to Saints and Pioneers. He had offered to even record while he was at the beach, but we decided to let him have time with his family and get back to this stuff when we all got back to normal life. And so here we are. Well, Jesse, tell us about this. You're going to be on radio tomorrow, man.
The radio?
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm going to be on... 101.5 WJLX. WJLX.
Out of Jasper in Walker County,
out
Alabama.
Of Walker County. My buddy James Phillips is a good friend, long time friend. He is doing a radio show with them like 2 or 3 days a week.
Okay.
And he is a good dude and called me or texted me this morning and said, "Hey, man, gonna be on the radio." So nice. I'm gonna play a new song that we just released, and we're playing a gig in Jasper. That's it's one of their it's a Tallulah Brewing company, and they kind of partner with the radio. They do some ad spots on the radio or whatnot. So be good for them, good for us.
Yeah,
so it's gonna be pretty cool. So Absolutely. Tune in 101.5.
That's right, and that is tomorrow. And this episode will be out today. And so if you're listening today, then it will be tomorrow.
Yeah, there
you'll be
you
on
go.
The radio.
Think about that.
And then Saturday, you've got your event. What time at the brewing?
7 to 9, man. Seven to nine p.m. 2 hours of just
Jesse
punch you
Crow
in the throat
and the
rock
unrest.
And roll, man.
I will be there. My bride will be with me, and so. Go to support Jesse Crow and the Unrest, but also all of your just pertinent, unanswered Saints and Pioneers questions. You'll have both of us there. We can talk podcasts. And,
yeah.
Any
person,
any topics or anything you got that you want us to discuss.
If you disagreed with something,
yeah.
Don't come.
Yeah, keep it to yourself.
Care.
Keep it to yourself. No, you can tell us. That's
no,
fine.
You can come.
That's all right. We get people disagree with us all the time. Heck, we disagree with ourselves sometimes.
I might eye roll. Yeah. Like, you know, if you ask me how I make a pour over.
Right.
I might give you one of them eye rolls.
Yeah, yeah.
No, I'm kidding.
This guy again. All right. Well, we're before we get into our last chapter of Western Theology, man, there is a great new song out by Jesse Crow and the Unrest and released, was it yesterday?
Sorry,
day before
my phone was going off. I'm trying to turn it off. Yes, it dropped. Yeah. That's the proper term.
Yesterday.
It dropped. Where does it drop from?
Yeah.
Was I gonna let it drop? I don't know.
Yeah.
I carefully laid it.
Yeah.
Out into the internets.
Yesterday.
Yeah.
Okay. All right. So it came out yesterday. Very good song. Love the whole song, but the intro is my favorite. So here it is: Archer, Jesse Crow, and the Unrest.
Under siege by cowards, hands ocean blood we battle as we take it and holler in the battleground of the soul. Brave archer, let your arrow fly above the saints and the sinners. Take aim at every lie. Brave archer, don't be deceived. You know the heart hangs in the balance. Those who fight beneath. Beneath your arrow. Strong mothers, fearless fathers, the sons and daughters at ground level, in a culture gone insane. Brave archer, Lord, this evil is subtle, disguised as freedom to foolish people. Boy, be surgical with your aim. Brave archer, let your arrow fly above the saints and the sinners. Take aim at every lie. Brave archer, don't be deceived. You know the heart hangs in the balance. Those who fight beneath, I've seen a kingdom coming. All creation groaning. When all wars will cease, only one holds the key. I pray you don't grow weary as we fight beneath archer. Let your arrow fly.
That's good stuff,
that's,
buddy.
That's
one of my fun new favorites right there. I have listened to them in my truck many times, and so if you've seen me recently driving down the road, just banging on that steering wheel drum, you know. That's good stuff.
I gotta say this.
Yeah.
I have the best damn band.
Yeah.
In the effing world.
Absolutely.
I just every time I listen to it, yeah. Man, these dudes, God have mercy, and not just the band. But the dude that recorded this stuff
mm-hmm.
is my buddy Andy. You know Andy.
Yeah,
yeah. We hunted together some this year.
He's a nut, but I love
he
him.
He is crazy as he yeah. can be. Country as cornbread.
Yeah.
And he's a genius when it comes to this stuff,
yeah.
recording and everything.
Yeah. Can I tell you when I knew I loved Andy?
What?
We had, so in a hunting club, you know, like you have a group text, or like for our case, we had group me, and like, so that's the only way I had known Andy, you know, I had not met him yet. And the first time I showed up, like I go to shake his hand and he started busting on me, like something you had said or something, you know, he comes in with a little inside joke that Jesse had let him in on or something. I was like, I like this guy.
Yeah.
Yeah, anytime you can meet somebody for the first time and they're talking trash to you and making fun of you,
oh yeah,
that's a good guy.
Yeah, he's a one of a kind.
We're too sensitive as people these days.
It's
a good little, you know, making fun's all right.
But, and we got, you know, I wish you would have been there when we recorded this that track.
Yeah,
Jason and Truck hung out with us.
Yeah,
you know,
yeah,
and we're all just hanging out and just captured a moment, man.
Yeah.
It was fun.
Yeah,
you know. So.
Jason's love. Jason is, for those that don't know him, if you've ever been around the ministry we're a part of, Church at Southside, he is one of the ones that makes things go, and a bigger part than he even realizes. But Jason kind of runs our truck and loads that and everything, and he's enjoyed getting to hang out with you guys as you practice up at the building and record and do things like that. So it's good stuff. All right, well, try to get out to that event. Hope to see you there. And I know I'm just guessing Archer will be on the set list.
Oh yeah,
that'll be played. So, get to hear it live and in person.
I would be doing myself and everyone else a disservice
if you didn't play the hell out of that song. Another Saturday Night Live reference. If you don't know that one, then there's probably no help for you. That's a good one.
You wouldn't like us.
More cowbell.
Yeah.
Well, all right. Well, we're getting in this week, last chapter of Western Theology. Jesse and I, off air, we're talking. We've enjoyed it, but we're also ready to move on to something else as well. And so,
some gold stuff in here.
Been great.
It's time to move on.
Yep. We're going to be kind of going on some one-off topics and interviews and different things moving down the road. And we joked about if you're at that event and you see us or whatever, or see us out anywhere or want to reach out, if you got a topic or something you'd like to hear something on it, can't guarantee we'll do it, but we would entertain it for sure. And, you know, if you've got somebody you think would be a good interview that you know.
Maybe it's something about God you don't understand.
Yeah, yeah.
I'm just going to guarantee we may not clear it up for you, but we'll wade through it with you.
Yeah, absolutely.
You know,
that's what really we started this thing was, is just kind of be authentic and
real
in our faith and life and just other stuff that interests us. But while we're speaking of Archer, don't forget to go over to n1outdoors.com. How you like that segue?
I
just thought about
it.
I just thought about it. All your archery needs and all that stuff, hunting stuff, good gear. N1outdoors.com, coupon code Keith for 15% off for all of our listeners. And so we appreciate them.
Good dudes, good company.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, man.
Love the outdoors, love the creation, and more importantly, love the creator. And so well, we're going to dive in this last chapter of Western Theology, and I love how straightforward it is, how simple, but it's talking about us as believers, as Christians. He uses the term Christian in the book, and I just want to say before we even get into that, that's such a hijacked term, you know, that America is a Christian nation. So you have a lot of people out there that think just because even they're, you know, citizens of this country that they're a Christian, air quotes here. But what we're really talking about is a Christ follower, somebody that's given their life to Jesus, knows that he is the only way to redemption. All of those things. And so if you've listened along, obviously the settler theology, the pioneer theology, you've learned by now the aim is that we hope to be, you know, pioneers. And so we've compared and contrasted along the way. We'll continue that as well for this final episode in this series. The Christian for settler theology, it's pretty simple. They're a settler. And so that's the kind of lens that we look through. First statement we get into is this, and I think it's very telling, and the whole idea of the settler that we've looked at through this book of Wes Seliger, Western Theology. A settler fears the open and unknown frontier. Question I have, how does that describe most modern day Christians, traditional worship gatherings, or whatever, that they fear the open and the unknown frontier? How do you think that describes most modern day believers?
Well, you know, here's the deal. This is what you and I have talked about many times. To follow Jesus requires risk. And if there's anything that most Americanized Christians don't want to do is risk. Now I include myself in that.
Yeah.
Risk, it scares us. But it's part of the gig, you know? And which the reason risk is necessary is because risk requires faith. And Jesus said, without faith, it's impossible to please God. Well, why is that? Well, because faith is, we use faith in everything we do on a daily basis. It takes faith for you to come and open the doors to your business every day. It takes faith for you to go on a trip. It takes faith for you to go, you know, to to conduct business with other people. Mm-hmm. Those, I mean, faith is a common thread in everything we do.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
And the Christian life is no different. Yeah. You know, but in conducting business, our faith is informed by certain things. Mm-hmm. So, it's all about how much faith you need to exercise. You know, versus going into something with a little bit more informed, you know, when you go into conduct business with somebody, I mean, you know it with the car business. Mm-hmm. You know, if you buy a car, you have faith that that car is not going to break down on somebody as mm-hmm. soon as they drive off your lot, right?
Yeah, yeah.
Well, you want to minimize that risk in that level of faith that you have. That's the way business is done,
mm-hmm.
you know. Whereas the kingdom of God, it's you want to maximize how much faith you have,
yeah,
right? Which is why Jesus, when I went to Florida, this one of the coolest things is my friend Buddy and his wife Sarah. Well, those are the people we stayed with. Mm-hmm. Every night we would watch The Chosen.
Yeah,
we'd watch that and then go to bed. It was just so relaxing and awesome. Like I was a little further along in the series than they were. They were just getting to certain points, but it was cool to rewatch some of that.
Yeah.
And you know, Jesus, the centurion, I don't want to give it away.
Yeah.
I won't give it away.
Right. Right?
But you can read this in the scriptures.
Mm-hmm.
He turns to his disciples when the centurion comes to him and says, look, you don't even need to come to my house. Now, I will say this. I don't think he wanted Jesus at his house.
Yeah. Yeah.
Because I think it would have hurt him.
Right.
Now I want to say that.
Yeah.
But the fact that he came to him and said, look, I don't even think you need to come.
Yeah.
I just think you need to say the word and it'll be done. And Jesus turns to his disciples almost with this glow on his faith, and he's like, man, I have never seen faith like this anywhere.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
So If risk and faith, obviously they go hand in hand,
mm-hmm.
you know, how do you follow Jesus then?
Yeah.
If you try and take those two things out of the equation,
yeah,
how do you really follow him?
Yeah.
It's kind of hard to do, you know?
It's funny you mentioned The Chosen. We're watching the most recent season now, almost all the way through. I think we've got a couple episodes left, and man, and this is also a plug, Dallas Jenkins, if you're out there listening, we want you on the podcast.
We'd
Absolutely. love to talk yeah. with you. But all kidding, well, it's not a kidding, but in all seriousness, I guess, you mentioned the word risk. In this season, obviously everything's coming to a head, you know, where he's entered Jerusalem.
You need to call me when you're finished because I got some stuff I need to barf on you.
Okay. But I think one of the things that's been so powerful to me of The Chosen and such a beautiful job that like Jonathan Rumi, the rest of the cast have done of portraying like the compassion of Jesus and the followers of Jesus, even the way he's handled like Judas, you know, knowing, which we talked about that at Southside not too long ago before I'd even seen it. And I'm kind of glad I did and kind of, you know, wished I'd seen that first because there was even some more gold there that I thought of. But the word risk and thinking of just seeing the visual representation versus reading scripture. And again, scripture is wonderful. It's where we, you know, we get so much from our understanding of who God is. But seeing these disciples just in a frenzied panic almost of like hearing that, it's rumbling around that, hey, they're coming for Jesus.
Right.
And the Simon the Zealot, you know, drawing the sword, like ready, like they're yeah. not coming, or Peter, like working behind the scenes and trying to figure. And then you even had Mary Magdalene that's, you know, out and like trying to maneuver and make things stop, mm. you know, the order in which they're going. And
yeah.
it's obvious they don't understand the full depth. They're just thinking the physical death.
Right.
Of yeah. their dear friend and teacher. And so the great risk, and especially after the events of the crucifixion and resurrection. And, you know, we just looked Sunday at Acts 3 and 4 and Peter and John, and urged to not teach in the name, commanded not to teach in the name Jesus anymore, of the great risk. And I mean, it cost every disciple, you know, virtually every disciple, their physical life, you know, by being martyred because of this risk and this anti the fear of the open or the unknown frontier, if you will. But going back to the settlers, it says the settler's goal is to keep in good standing with the mayor, if you remember that's God, and stay out of the sheriff, which is Jesus, stay out of his way. So just to stay in good standing. And man, if that's not a representation of a lot of, you know, church attendance, you know, of just, I'm trying to stay in good standing here. You know, like I've got my, had a friend that used to say it, that he, you know, coming from maybe a different viewpoint than we do spiritually, said that, he felt like, you know, that a lot of people did their tithes and donations and a church attendance was for funeral purposes only, you know, is to be in good standing and be considered a good man or good woman, you know, when somebody has to stand above, you know, at your funeral. But keep in good standing with the mayor, stay out of the way of the sheriff. Awed by the courthouse, if you remember, that was the church building. I would love to talk about this as far as church buildings. We're not anti-church building. We don't have a church building that we gather at, you know, with the ministry that we're at, but we're not against them. But I tell you one thing that I am against that's just become more and more of a pet peeve, and maybe it's because what God has shown us out on the streets, that you don't have to have a building to be the church. You know, it's the people. But the phrase that people still use about the respect or whatever in the house of God. You know, I just want to tell you, if you're listening, I believe that we are the house of God. Like we are the temple of God. He doesn't dwell in buildings. And I use this example Sunday. I'm Jesse. I'm sure you've had things happen like this before, but it was a church that I served at as a youth pastor and had, I'll go on and describe them how I did Sunday. You weren't there Sunday, so you missed it. But, I said they were stern and crusty. That's the best way I could describe them. So you picture that however you want. Not in their appearance crusty, but just their attitude. And they just really felt like they had caught a kid, like one of our students doing something. And I was like, he's like, I just need to tell you about what they did. And I was like, okay, well, you know, I'm thinking it's something horrific, you know, the way he was acting. And he said they walked through the house of God with a hat on. And I, even back then, I was much more of a religious spirit than I am now, I would say. But even then I was like, how about let's be glad they're here. And thinking too, it's like, that ain't God's house. Like that's this faith family's building. And yes, we do commune with God there. We do seek God there, but it's like, brother, I got him with me. You do too. You know, I hope. But yeah, house of God. And so that's a big thing with the settlers, is they are awed by the courthouse.
I would say too, and again, I'm not opposed to someone, you know, buying a place. You know, I know some churches that, you know, I am opposed to burdening yourself to have a building. And I say that because, you know, and Mike will attest to, Mike Skelton will attest to this, you know, in the early days of Interchange, we did that. We made that mistake. And it was, he and I talked many days about this, like, man, if we wouldn't have got into this, we could have done so much more. And it was a learning thing. You know, we didn't know. But there's a lot of churches out there that, you know, it's probably up for a vote. It's on the table right now. Should we go into debt buying this?
Build a bigger building.
I mean, man, I would question that. I'm not going to say that. I'm not going to say that's wrong. Because that's legalism. For me to tell you that's wrong, that's, I think that's legalistic. But I would say, I would question it.
seriously,
well, I'll tell you how
seriously
how prevalent the thought is of the building. You may remember this. I remember it vividly because I was there and on the ground, and I called you. But I was in Costa Rica with Bill Clayton.
Yeah.
And we had just spoken at a
conversation.
Pastor's conference, and it was obviously through translator, and then they had a question and answer thing. And this one guy, and we had just started Southside the way that we do now, you know, where we're mobile. And this Costa Rican guy that was saying that he was called to be a pastor, but he said, through the translator, he says, but I can't. And I asked the guy, I said, well, you know, ask him why. Why can't he? You know, I didn't know what he was talking. And this is more of the Western world and, you know, the things you see on YouTube and TV and all this stuff. But we're in the middle of nowhere, Costa Rica. And he says, well, I can't because I don't have a building or a projector.
Wow.
I swear. That was, and I was like, well, first off, like, you know, got nothing to do with it. You know, but like, yeah. I through the translator said, ask him to hang around, and we talked it out. And I was like, do you have a park close by? Do you have a few people that you could gather? And he was like, yeah.
Do you have a living room?
And I was like, you know, right there.
Yeah.
You know, told him what we was doing, and he threw the translator back at, in America, you're meeting outside, like on the streets. And it was like, yeah, I mean, it's the greatest church I've ever seen as far as like what it's taught me and what I've learned from it. But yeah, this emphasis on the building is a big thing.
What a shame too, because he probably learned that from the American
oh yeah no doubt no doubt
and I, man buildings oh, man you know again I'm not saying that's a bad thing. Mm-hmm. Okay. Because I think people get on tangents where they say, you should sell your building and you should, you know, do this or do that. And people get dogmatic about things. Mm-hmm. And that's legalism.
Yeah.
You know, it's just dressed differently.
Well,
right?
And here's the thing, too. A pastor that has, I know people that have done this. They've taken on a new role, like they've been called to this new ministry.
Mm.
And they go and their predecessor and their predecessor's predecessor has gotten this church in a million plus millions debt.
Yeah.
And so they come in now and they're having to answer to finance committee, deacon committee,
right.
Personnel committee, committees of committees and all this stuff. It's like, why is giving down? Well, giving's down every ministry across the board
right.
in a lot of places. And so they come in and it's like now, instead of being pastor, shepherd, teacher, whatever, you know, role they feel they have, now all of a sudden they've become like this business manager of like, we got to get the debt down,
yeah.
which means we need more butts in seats. We need
yeah.
more people giving.
Yeah.
We need, and it's all this stuff. And if you're not careful, you take on that strategy and it's like, before you know it, you've got all these things planned out and all this and nobody's even prayed.
Right.
Yeah. What do we do, God? Like, is there an answer here?
Well, I think the simple, it's almost too simple, but I think it's appropriate, is Christ has to be the head. That's the problem with the Americanized, institutionalized church,
mm-hmm.
is for a lot of them, I'm not saying all of them, mm-hmm. but for a lot of them, Christ is not the head.
Mm-hmm.
And that's the truth, yeah. you know? And not to say we're the model, that our church is the model that every church should follow, but I will say in the beginning, with that infamous sermon,
mm-hmm.
that talk that you gave,
mm-hmm.
What do we need Jesus for? That was the question. We got full cupboards. We got mm-hmm. a full closet full of clothes. And, you know, what do we need Jesus for? So mm-hmm. it's like, if Christ is not the head, typically, not saying every time, but typically that's where you end up. Mm-hmm. You end up with building committees, finance committees. You end up shackled with debt. You end up in the minutiae of all of the stuff that you have to weed through. And by the time you get to the end of it, you're exhausted.
Mm-hmm.
And there's no room for mm-hmm. the spontaneity of the Spirit,
mm-hmm.
right? So that's why there are churches all over Alabama right now who are, oh, we need to build a bigger building, or we need to, because we need to house more people so we can have a bigger service. And it's like, I would say, look, take your people, first of all, like, prayer needs to be core. Mm-hmm. Because if Christ is the head, how is Jesus as the head going to speak? He's going to mm-hmm. speak through prayer. Mm-hmm. So first of all, like, go back to the scriptures. Ask Jesus, how do I teach my people how to pray?
Mm-hmm.
How do I teach my people how to pray? How do I teach my people how to listen?
Mm-hmm.
Because when we think about prayer, we think about this is what we want to say to God.
Mm-hmm.
But prayer is probably about 10% of what you need to say to God, and it's mm-hmm. about 90% of what you need to be listening for.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
So if we're listening to Jesus, he is going to be the head of things. He's mm-hmm. going to lead things.
Mm-hmm.
And, dude, you and I have talked about this. I mean, like, in all my experiences, I don't know if I've ever heard Jesus say, you need more seats.
Mm-hmm.
You need more bigger building. You need
yeah.
you need more. You need a fitness center. Mm-hmm. You need a bigger youth. He just doesn't say those kinds of things. Not yeah. to me.
Well,
you know,
I got in trouble. Not in trouble, but I had a little brushback because it was during COVID times. If you remember that,
ugh,
the whole yeah. essential, non-essential. You know, church gatherings were considered non-essential. In a lot of places, especially Birmingham, where we serve, you know, they were really tamping down on, like, big gatherings, whether it was outdoors or not. We skated through because we were an essential partner with the food bank.
Mm-hmm.
And it really got me stirring. It's like, what if, like, when the next, because make no mistake, there will be something else that comes down the road. I'm not saying conspiracy, just stuff happens, right?
Mm-hmm.
What if the next time something came about that the very place, the very institution that was considered essential was the Church of Jesus Christ, where government or whoever's involved says, I tell you one thing we can't do. We cannot shut down the churches that gather together in Jesus' name because they're out actually doing the work in the community.
Right.
And, where I got a little brushback is I went to the old Twitter and I put out, maybe if our gatherings didn't look like a TED talk and a YMCA, you know, entertainment station, maybe we would be considered, you know, essential.
Right.
I still stand by the validity and the truth.
Oh, I totally agree with that. Yeah.
Maybe a little bit of a smart aleck in there, but
yeah.
I don't know. That's something I got from my mom. I mean, my dad,
you know,
I mean,
what?
My parents. No, I'm kidding. Mom, Dad, I love you.
I'm going to give a little plug to old Barbara Crow.
Yeah.
So, Barbara, she used to, when she'd get really mad, she'd want to cuss.
Mm-hmm.
But she knew cussing was wrong.
Mm-hmm.
And she was, me and my nephew Christian, which is basically like my brother, he kind of grew up with me.
Yeah.
I don't know. We were doing something stupid.
Mm-hmm.
And she was going to. He answered her. She said something. She said like something like chastising us in some way, and he answered in some kind of smart ass way.
Mm-hmm.
And she turned around. And she said, "You." She went. She paused and she said, "You smart Alice." She called him a smart Alice.
Smart ass.
She was trying to not say smart ass.
Fiddlesticks.
But she was, and she was trying to, you know, sort of reshift to smart Alec.
Yeah.
And now, whenever Mom gets mad and she says something, we'll go, is he being a smart Alice?
Sorry. Wait till next time I see her. I'm going to mention that.
Oh, yeah.
You smart Alice. well, back to this. This was kind of a continuing point. And, man, this goes back. It's funny you said that because I was going to mention this one quote that I used in that early on message before we kind of went mobile and everything. But it said some members in good standing for decades would be absolutely lost without their building.
Mm,
and the Francis Chan quote that I used, and it was powerful for me and kind of got me to thinking of his actual question is, what would you do if your church building went away?
Oh, man.
Like, I would venture to say that 90%+ would like literally just fold and be like, we got like, we'll go to like a member would say, well, I'm going to go down the road to XYZ Baptist Church because my church closed because we lost our building.
Well, and you know? It's all because the model that we go by, and I don't want to get off into this cause I don't know a lot about this, but I heard a term Constantinian Church. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Have you ever heard that term?
Yeah.
It's like Constantine was the emperor of Rome. But he had some experience with what he thought would be Jesus. I don't know if he did or not.
Right.
But a lot of what we model our church after is constant, is what Constantine, through the law, he enforced, right? Yeah.
There was a lot of that in that book. It's Pagan Christianity.
Oh, yeah.
And I can't.
Frank Viola.
Frank Viola. Yeah.
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 I was trying to think of his name.
Yeah, I've read the book. There's this Constantinian version of church that we all follow. Mm-hmm. And here's the problem I have with a lot of what I see out there in church culture. I'm not going to name any names because there's too many good ones to call them all bad.
Yeah.
To be honest 100%. With you. But they base their decisions in terms of the way they live their lives, not on Christ, because he's really not the head in some of these places. Mm-hmm. They base it on what their pastor or their main influencer is, small group leader, whatever, on what they say. Mm-hmm. I'll give you a perfect example, and this happened several years back, and I won't say the name of the church, and I won't say the pastor, because everybody that's listening is going to know who it is, okay? But I was at a dinner party with some friends, people that in a past life, I don't really see them, hang out with them anymore. And this couple comes in that we knew and that, you know, kind of came and went in our circle or whatever. And they said, well, we're going to sell our house. And they lived in a pretty decent part of the town. Mm-hmm. And we're going to buy a house in this. And they named the location. It was a terrible part of town. Mm-hmm. And we're going to put our kids in this school that's not a good school, mm-hmm. right? And I'm a firm believer, man, God calls you into something, you better make damn sure that's what God's calling you into, because you're going to be dragging your kids into it, right?
Yeah.
And you better make sure that's where God's calling you, because it's not fair to them if you mess that up, right? So they were like, we're going to buy this house in this terrible part of town. And I'm sitting there, and we're kind of Googling the address of this house they're going to buy. And me and this other guy across the table, we kind of look at each other like kind of confused, like, this is kind of off, like this is spur of the moment, like they just did. And I said, or he said, or I said, I can't remember who said it, but I was like, looked at him, why are you doing this? And he went into, well, our pastor said, and I immediately, when he said that, even back then, this is 15 years ago, even back then I was like, our pastor said that if we wanted to follow Jesus, we would sell all we have and we would go to these terrible parts of town and buy a house, and we would, and he didn't say it that way, it was more eloquent, he dressed it up a little more. But me and the other guy sitting across from me, we kind of looked at each other and looked back at him, and I remember saying this, that's a terrible idea. I was like, I would pray over that before you do that. And I just remember since then, so many people that have completely change course of their life because of what their pastor said. Now, if God speaks through that, that's fine.
Yeah, absolutely.
But that's an example of Christ is not the head. This guy with a PhD and a doctorate and all these, you know, all these things is telling you what to do. That's a recipe for absolute disaster. You know,
I would venture to say, and I don't know who this is, you can tell me off air, but...
you don't know him, I will say that.
I'm going to say the pastor probably didn't do that same move.
Oh, no.
Yeah.
No, I don't think he did. Yeah. Maybe he did.
Yeah.
And I don't think he's in the area anymore.
Okay.
But I just remember thinking, but me and Caroline gets in the car going home, and I just remember, I said, did you hear what these two people said? And she said, yeah, that's dumb.
Yeah.
My wife, I love my wife. She's so practical.
Yeah.
And she's like, please tell
Jamie
me.
Jamie are a lot alike on that.
Oh yeah.
She's they like, have to please, be to put up with us.
Please tell me you would never do that. And I was like, I wouldn't, because again, if Jesus said to me, Jesse, I want you to sell your property and I want you to buy in this terrible part of town because that's where I want you.
Yeah.
that's a different deal.
Right.
Right. I would do that. Like, yeah. I think I would.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm not going to say, I mean, I may lose faith and go, no, I'm not. You know, I don't know. But again, if Christ is not the head, mm-hmm. if your pastor's, I mean, that's, then see, we've talked about this. We need to do an episode on sort of the, because it's a sort of a narcissistic leadership.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, you need to do this because this is what Jesus would do. How do you know that's what he would do?
Yeah.
You don't know that's what he would do.
Yeah.
Because here's the thing. If Jesus would do that and we're walking with him, he's going to tell us to do it.
Mm-hmm.
That's the way this, that's the gig, man.
Yeah.
That's the way this works.
Yeah.
And it's like, Jesus may say, you know what? Your son is really involved and I've been working his life in that private school, in that part of town that everybody wants to be in.
Mm-hmm.
So let's keep him there for 4 years.
Yeah.
After that, we do have some adventures we're going to go on. That's going to push your faith. That's going to make you risk, right?
Mm-hmm.
But right now is not the time. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. Yeah.
So yeah, anyway.
Yeah. Well, and that's a great point. So one of the things it said about Sedler was safety, comfort, law and order, you know, are kind of the marching orders. And I don't know if we can say damning. I guess I just did. But from that, Sedlers a lot of times find themselves trying to outshine one another.
Mm. Yeah.
And
I felt like that's what that moment was with that guy.
Yes. Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Yeah. It was like, anyway, sorry.
And it says that they really don't know each other. Like, they gather in this big group. They really don't know each other. And here's why I say it's damning. Because they are scared to death to reveal their true selves. They're not walking in community with one another. Like, you know, like, I mean, you don't have to tell it on air, but like, you know, a lot of my secrets.
Secrets.
You know where the bodies are buried, I say. But like, for real, like, we confess stuff to one another, and it's like, there's no danger of like relationship being at stake or whatever. It's like, when I've had some of my worst moments, you know, my wife always knows about those, you know, but like, you're one of the first calls I make because I know it's a safe place of like, you already know I'm screwed up.
We're in the tree of trust.
Yeah. Yeah. Are we not? But, to have friends like that and have community, like that is so, so important.
It's so freeing that I don't have to have friends that I have to brag around.
Yeah.
Bragging is a pain in the ass.
Mm-hmm.
I hate it.
Yeah.
You know, because I leave a place where in the past, I mean, I'm 46 years old. I don't really have any brag left in me.
Yeah.
I've already effed up the rest of my life, so I don't have any of that left. Yeah. But it's like.
And by effed up, he means fudged up.
Fudged up. Exactly.
Yeah.
But like, now. Man, that's one of the most freeing things in life. It's like, I can be 100% real with you and the rest of the people in my community.
Mm-hmm.
And people that I can't be real with, I just don't hang out with much.
Yeah.
It's just,
you know
what I mean?
100%. Last one on Sedlers, and we'll get on to the good stuff with the Pioneers. But I thought this was pretty telling as well, and I think I've seen this play out. But it says, Sedlers have little to do with Pioneers because Pioneers are always telling Sedlers about the thrill of pioneering life and life on the trail and asking them to join in as well.
Mm.
And it's upsetting, to say the least, to the Sedlers' heart.
Man, you know, me and you've talked about this. One of the most heartbreaking things is when we have a church that will come out and volunteer.
Mm-hmm.
Or I'll talk to somebody about, hey, I see what you're doing, the homeless church is you're doing that homeless church. Man, I would love to do that, but, and I can see like in their countenance, like they're trying to justify to me why they don't do that.
Mm-hmm.
And it kind of makes my heart hurt because I'm like, first of all, you ain't got to justify to me anything.
Right.
You know? I know people that are in the institutional church, and that's exactly where God wants them, right? Because they're doing things within that. They're following. They're pioneers within that, right?
Yeah.
But whenever I hear somebody say that, it just makes my heart hurt because I'm like, one, I'm not I'm not Jesus. You mm-hmm. don't have to impress me.
Right.
And you can't really impress Jesus.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
And two, it's like, man, if you really were at home with him in your experiences with him, or your like a relationship with him, mm-hmm. I don't know if you'd feel that way.
Yeah.
You know? Yeah. It just makes my heart hurt. Anyway.
Yeah, for sure. Well, getting into the good stuff, the pioneer, the Christian is a pioneer. It says a man, a woman, I want you to go back and think, you know, when we were talking settlers, this fear of the unknown, you know, seeking comfort, seeking safety.
I will say this. You need, if you're listening, you should pause right here mm-hmm. and listen to Corey Asbury, Pioneers.
Yes. And also, Corey, if you're listening, we've talked. But if you're listening, we'd love to have you on as well.
Yeah, you got to be on. and then come back and listen to the show, but listen to that song.
Yeah,
because it's just gorgeous.
Very, very good.
Yeah, it's really good.
In fact, this Western theology, Corey has a copy of this book based off that song. Like,
yep.
I was like, man, yep. You know, you need this book.
Yeah.
But anyway, on the pioneer, a man or woman of risk, daring, boundless curiosity and a wild imagination. That's a lot different from seeking comfort, fear of the unknown.
Yeah.
And it's, I would venture to say, if you've ever been in a pioneering spirit, it's like you can't go back. Oh, man. I mean, you could, but you're not going to be happy with that. Like yeah. your soul is going to feel empty. It's going to be dry. Like there's just no, you've seen too much on the other side of it.
Right.
And that's not saying that you or I couldn't go back in a traditional setting. I think we could, but we'd be bringing the pioneer spirit, you know, with
right.
us.
Right. I mean, God would have to lead that way.
Yeah.
Which he's done that with friends of ours. Mm-hmm. In fact, our friend who listens often, Bill Clayton, your mm-hmm. Uncle Bill.
Yeah. Yeah.
God's led him back into the institutional church.
In his first message when he's in view of a call, as they call it when you're teaching, I was like, I'd talked with him briefly on it. I was like, man, what's this deal? Like, you're leaving.
Right.
Because he'd kind of mimicked what we were doing and in his own way. What, not I'm saying he copied, but like inspired, God inspired and used that. I'm like, man, what's the deal? And he's like, oh, just listen to my first message.
Right.
And he laid the groundwork of like, we're not here just to gather. Like, we got to go out. We got to, you know, it's not just about these four walls.
And I think there's a testament to that God's beloved is part of that,
mm-hmm.
right? Like he's going after them just as much. Too,
and we've said it before, and I think it bears repeating again. There are believers, followers of Christ that are settlers right now.
Mm.
It's not saying that a settler is not a believer in Jesus Christ or a pioneer is some super believer. It's just a different spirit and really more of a walking with God than versus walking with all the other external factors, a pastor, a committee, all this stuff.
Is Christ the head?
Yeah.
That's the question.
Yeah,
right?
100%.
Yeah.
So it says, a pioneer, each day's travels take him further into the unknown, and pioneering is for keeps and demands one's everything.
Right.
Each day's travel takes him further into the unknown. That's what it is with God. You just never know. Like, our routine is pretty much the same now with how we set up. But, like, I would venture to say every Sunday throws another challenge or another thing that's just a little bit different and we have to walk with God on. Somebody that shows up that maybe, like, we've even said it. Like, if you're listening and have never experienced this, it might sound foreign to you or something from an old Bible story where we believe we've had people with demonic oppression. I won't say possession, maybe, but definitely an oppressive spirit into our parking lot. I think
several
of one person.
Stories. Yeah, several stories come to mind. I won't share them right now, but yeah.
One person in particular, and he was there Sunday and in very right mind, but I have no doubt that one day, and you could say, well, he was on drugs or this or that, and maybe. Like, maybe that's a part of it, but I think there was some kind of oppression going on one day that he was just totally outside of character. Eyes were very even hateful, and he's a loving dude.
Right.
But it just, I've seen that. And so every Sunday brings its challenges. But it says, if you want to be a pioneer, you've got to buckle on your spurs, your six shooter, and go. I mean, obviously using the Western theology terms here, and the old Wild West, but you're in for a challenge every time that you're following God into that unknown, if you will.
Well, and I think too, it's like I think of the story, and this is a pretty hardcore example, but I think of Ananias and Sapphira.
Mm-hmm.
Did I say that right? Sapphira?
Yeah.
I said it right. In Acts, they tried to reserve a little bit for themselves.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I'm not saying that God's going to strike you dead.
Yeah, yeah.
I mean, it's a pretty hardcore thing.
Which that story, it would have been completely fine if they went and told, like, hey, we're giving you 80% of what we just sold this for.
Right.
I think they've been like, awesome. They're like, no, this is everything. Yeah.
Well, and I think, I want to say that God left that in there to show where he, you know, that you can't reserve anything and still buy in and still be a part. I mean, it requires complete surrender. Now, I know from firsthand experience that complete surrender doesn't happen all at once.
Mm-hmm. I'm still not there.
Right. But at some point, it's got to be that, right? It's like, and there are things that I have to surrender that I don't even know right now. Like, there are things that I will surrender later that I don't know right now that need to be surrendered, right? I think it's a progression.
Yeah.
But, like, the pioneering life with Jesus, the life that Jesus intended for us to live, actually, is an all-in life.
Mm-hmm.
It just is. I mean, that's what's so frustrating about a lot of people. The rich young ruler is a perfect example. You know, he thought that if I just do all the right things, that I can still be in on this thing that this man Jesus is doing.
Mm-hmm.
And Jesus was like, dude, you know, you're not there yet because you're trying to hold on to the world and keep a foot in the kingdom. And it just doesn't work that way.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, for sure. You heard the old statement before, the old quote, not all who wander are lost. It kind of came to mind on this one. It says, pioneers wander, but they are not lost. They follow where the trail boss points, and a pioneer is willing to go anywhere.
Mm.
I would say if you're listening right now and you say, kind of like the old Meatloaf song, I'll do anything for love, but I won't do that.
Right.
I'd go anywhere, but I wouldn't go somewhere, you know?
Yeah.
Maybe examine that with God and ask, you know, why is that there? What's, you know, again, wisdom, like in your story you just shared about that couple. But, you know, that was one of our things that moved us. And it was kind of a similar story. We didn't go to an awful neighborhood, but it was less than, you know, what we were used to.
Yeah.
But even with that, where the kids would have went to school, we homeschooled for a couple years, and then we sent them to a private school, and it was like out of fairness to them and the situation. But we knew that's where God was. And even having that conversation with, like, it wound up being a great move, but a preteen daughter that had friends and, you know, all her classmates, and it's like, hey, we're taking you out of this school, and we're going, and we're moving here to this place where we don't know anybody. Mm. It was tough.
Yeah.
It was tough conversations.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, as a teenager, you know, thinking about that, it was, you know, obviously a difficult situation, but it was exactly where we were supposed to be. Next up, it says, everyone is welcome to join the adventure. It is not a social club, and all fellow workers are welcome and wanted. I think you see kind of that clicked up, you know, thing in more traditional settings where when you're in a pioneering spirit and all hands and feet are needed, there's not time to really necessarily click up.
Right.
You know?
Yeah.
And so everybody is welcome. It says it's a challenge to live life on the trail. Even bigger challenge is finding a pioneer who would dare go back. I love that.
I do too. You know,
like, find somebody that's truly been on a pioneering journey and say, okay, we want to put you back in this sterile, you know, mundane environment where you are going to have to answer to men and women and not Christ as the head.
Well, John Eldridge says that story is the language of the heart, right?
Yeah.
And the problem with a lot of institutional churches, there's no compelling story, right?
Mm-hmm.
There's nothing compelling to it,
yeah.
Right? And so it's when I don't care who you are or what your demographic is or where you are, if you're following Jesus, it's going to attract a certain kind of person who's normally fits the criteria of a pioneering spirit,
yeah,
because it compels them to come, right?
Yeah.
And a lot of churches, we were one of them. Why are more people not coming to this?
Mm-hmm.
Well, it's a church, a storefront church in Birmingham,
mm-hmm.
a new start church is not a compelling story.
Mm-hmm.
It's just not.
Yeah.
Because it's happening all over the place.
Yep.
There's one in Calera,
mm-hmm.
and where I live, there's a storefront church, and they got a cool little, mm-hmm. yeah, they got a graphic, a cool mm-hmm. statement. I've even thought of like, hey man, we ought to take off one Sunday just to mm-hmm. check it out. I'm just interested.
See what's up.
Yeah. But again, we've had people that have come join us. We didn't promote that.
Mm-hmm.
Think about the people that are on our team now.
Yeah.
I think of Jeff from Wilsonville. Why the hell would Jeff drive? Mm-hmm. He drives further than I do.
Yeah.
I drive 40 minutes to get there.
There every week. Loves it.
And he loves
and
it.
And listens to Saints and Pioneers. And we love you, Jeff.
Yeah, we love you, Jeff.
Yeah.
But I'm like, why in the hell would Jeff drive all? Because it's a compelling story, man. Mm-hmm. And he's part of us now, you know? Yeah. And we have had some. A dear friend of ours,
mm-hmm.
who said, it's not for me.
Mm-hmm.
And he quit going.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I know this guy walks with Jesus.
Mm-hmm.
And I had so much respect for him when he said, it's just not for us.
Yeah.
And they quit going.
Yeah.
And I'm like, okay, well, that's fine. Mm-hmm. And it was like, I didn't get mad. None of us got mad at him.
Right.
We were kind of like, oh, it works that way too.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And it's like, I don't know. It's just funny to me because it's like it's a compelling story, and it's not to say it's for everyone,
mm-hmm.
you know, because again, it's like Jesus, like, hey, I want that guy, but I got something else for that guy. I don't want him there. I want him somewhere else.
Yeah.
You know.
Yeah.
So it's
absolutely. Well, just a couple more here. It says pioneer spirit is the driving force on the wagon train. There's a common vision, a common task, and a pioneer spirit is a mix of humility, gratitude, compassion, freedom, and joy.
Mm.
But I love this on the freedom part. This is the last statement, and then I've got a question for you. It says, so pioneer freedom is freedom to face the settler within each of us.
Because
it's there.
Don't you long... I get emotional because I've been thinking a lot about this. Like, don't you long for adventure?
Mm-hmm.
You know, don't it?
Yeah.
Doesn't it eat at you a little bit?
Yeah.
You know, and it's like life can just get so safe when you're mm-hmm. trying to pay bills and you're trying to go to work and trying to keep everything together. But it's like, isn't there a part of you that eats at you that longs for something deeper?
Yeah.
You know, I think there's so many people out there like that that are just dying on the inside, man,
mm-hmm.
because they know Jesus and they feel that wildness within them
mm-hmm.
and they don't know what to do with it.
Yeah.
You know?
Well, and those same folks, a lot of them right now, and you may be feeling that, it resonates as Jesse says that, you may be listening and feeling that way, but what church has become, not anything ill towards any traditional setting or anything like that, but what it has become, and unfortunately you can't find this in scripture, you can't find the call of Jesus to do this. Now, to gather together, to assemble, yes, that's there, but if your Christ following experience culminates by a Sunday or a Saturday, if that's when you go, to just gather in a building, go and sit in your same spot that you sit every week, listen to an hour message and some songs, and then leave unchanged and unmoved to do anything else. Like, I'm sorry, that's not what Christ has for us.
Right.
Like, it doesn't mean that you're supposed to leave where you're at. Don't hear that. Like, you pray, you seek. You may be the voice of change that that place needs. And so I've counseled with people on that. I've literally, you know someone I've talked to about it lately that has really dug in. And, like, I just know there's something more, and has talked about our place. It's like, listen, that may not be for you.
Yeah.
If it is, then by all means, you're welcome.
Right.
But you may be the voice of change right where you're at to turn that into more of what you're envisioning. And so just, you know, pray through that. So that's everything. That's the last of the book. And I mean, of course, we're just hitting the high point. So I'd encourage you to, you can pick up a copy on eBay used. It's out of publication now, but reread the whole thing if you want to. But
we might be the only podcast that does a series on a book that's no longer in print.
Yeah, and I so bad wanted to meet the guy when I first read it, but he had passed a few years before that. I believe we'll meet him one day.
Oh, yeah.
But I would ask this question to the listener and then to also you, Jesse. So now that we've examined the whole book, any advice on leaving the settler life to become a pioneer? We've kind of hit on that a little bit, but what's your advice on that?
Well, I think first of all, you've got to have your interior life in order.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So you can't, Christ can't be the head. I've said that several times. We've talked about that several times. Christ can't be the head if you're not employing the disciplines that Jesus employed, mm-hmm. right? Silence, solitude, prayer, mm-hmm. worship,
mm-hmm.
Fasting.
Yeah.
So examine the life of Jesus. Mm. Start there.
Yeah.
Take a shot. Read the Gospels.
Mm-hmm.
You know, there's a lot of people that live their lives around reading famous authors' books, Christian authors' books, mm-hmm. and they go from one trend to the next, and mm-hmm. they go, oh, this author says I should do this, and this author should. I would say don't stop doing that,
mm-hmm.
because there's good authors out there who are God is using. Francis Chan, we mentioned him,
mm-hmm.
incredible author, speaker, YouTube, Francis Chan, it'll change your world,
mm-hmm.
right? John Eldridge, we talk a lot about Johnny Boy.
Mm-hmm.
His book, Wild at Heart, if you're a man, you're frustrated with life, I highly recommend it.
Yeah.
But I think we always have to go back to, how did Jesus live?
Yeah.
And don't, look, let's disarm, well, it was a long time ago. It mm-hmm. was a different culture.
Mm-hmm.
It was, you know, we're different people now.
Yeah.
Put all that aside. Ask the Holy Spirit to reveal. Because, you know, he's part of the Trinity,
mm-hmm.
the Father, Son, the Holy Spirit, right?
Mm-hmm.
The Holy Spirit will lead you into all truth. That's why Jesus told his disciples, I'm sending you my Spirit,
mm-hmm.
and he will lead you into all truth, right?
Yeah.
So we have to start with the life of Jesus. I would even say the chosen.
Mm-hmm.
If you're a creative person
mm-hmm.
and the written word bores you,
mm-hmm.
I still think you need to go there.
Yeah.
But the chosen, it will inspire you to go back to those stories mm-hmm. and re-examine them.
And right? I promise you, when you do, you'll see things. Like, I could mention one, but I don't want to spoil it if you haven't seen it. But the water to wine moment where Jesus has that solo moment over the jars.
Yeah.
And it was something, I've read that story a million times.
Yeah.
But I never contemplated, like, what that moment really was setting in motion in Jesus' mind.
Right.
Like, I get chills thinking about that scene. And it's funny you mention that, and you know this part of my story, but that was one of the things that led us to Birmingham was I read the Gospels. Like, crazy.
Who would have thought?
Crazy.
Yeah.
I was actually encouraged by friends. Like, man, just God's stirring something. I don't know. And he's like, read the Gospels. I was like, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. Like, I've read it a bunch of times.
Mm.
And I tell you the unnerving part and what God really, I think there was an undoing, if you will. Shout out to my buddy Wes Willis and I guess I'll give Kevin Hughley a shout out, but Rush of Fools had that song Undo, and there really is something beautiful about that undoing. But the undoing for me was when I read the Gospels, I found myself there, but unfortunately it was more like a Pharisee than mm-hmm. what Jesus was like.
Yeah. Yeah.
And then the word that jumped off the pages, and this was in that initial message that you referenced, and then I shared that Chan quote from, but the word faith, how many times it shows up in the Gospels.
Yeah.
And it's like, man, I don't know what I got to have faith for right now, the way I'm living.
Yeah.
So great, great stuff. Well, I hope everyone has enjoyed this series. We're looking forward to venturing into new topics and new interviews and things like that. So we've got some cool things coming up.
We're working on some pretty big interviews.
Yeah.
I don't want to say who it is.
Yeah.
But we're working on it. Okay. Right. So stay tuned just for that. Some people that you probably have heard of.
Yeah.
Now I'm not going to say we're going to have
Elvis.
You know, Elvis.
Elvis, if you're out there listening, we know you're still alive. You ain't fooling us.
We're trying to get Joe Rogan. Okay. We're going to get Joe Rogan on
here.
That'd
be pretty cool.
No, I don't know. No, but seriously, we are working on some interviews, some people that God has spoken through either their books or their music or whatever.
Yeah.
So we're working on that.
Yeah. Yeah. Absolutely.
Yeah.
Well, thank you guys for joining us. We'll hopefully be back soon with a new episode, not a series, but just a new episode coming along and see where God leads. So thank you guys for tuning in. Hope you've enjoyed Western Theology. Pick up a copy. And as you listen to this, Saturday night, come on out 7 to 9 at a brewing company. You don't get that Jesus in a brewery all together, but hey, it's
gonna be
okay.
Great, man.
Yep, come on. Hear Archer live and in person.
Yep.
Thank you guys. We'll see you next time.